Now, scripture reading this morning is from Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 14 through 24. May God bless the reading and the hearers of his word. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now therefore, and if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you are living in. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites, who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Then Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice." Thanks be to God for the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad to be here this morning. And it's good to see all of you and so many youth. My goodness, thanks be to God for all of the youth that are here. Amen. Amen. I'm Reverend Dr. Nelda Barrett Moraine, and I pastor the First United Methodist Church of Kennedale. All of our youth graduated, and so we're struggling now to get our youth back. So that's why I'm just so happy to see this youth here this morning. Amen. I will just recognize my lay leader, Larry Smith, is here this morning. Good friend, Dr. Alfie Wines, is here this morning. Amen. Amen. So just thanks be to God for this day, for this weekend. It has been awe-inspiring. It has been wonderful. So I want to commend this congregation for allowing God's Spirit to touch your spirit and your hearts to be able to support the act, acknowledge, confess, transform the committee's work, and what they wanted to do with strong support from you. So I thank you. Amen. Amen. And I thank Byron Griffith. I think I saw him sitting over here somewhere. And the ACT Committee. I'm just asking y'all to raise your hands. You probably don't want to stand. But the ACT Committee, well, stand up so everybody can see the ACT Committee of Broadway Baptist Church. They worked very, very hard and diligent and determined to make sure that this weekend would happen. I want to commend the leadership of this church, this pastor here, Pastor Ryan. To ask you to say or tell the person next to you, this is my pastor, because you just showed it by how much you applauded and stood up for him. But I want to thank him for supporting the committee, for encouraging the committee, for being there and standing boldly with the ACT Committee, and also giving up his pulpit on a Sunday morning. Pastors don't usually do that, especially if they're going to be there. So I thank you. I thank you, Pastor Ryan. I also just want to say about this man, and I didn't know him until we started this process and planning, but he is a man who talks the talk, but he walks the walk. He walks the walk, and so I just want to thank him for that. And I know that the commissioners down in Fort Worth put him out because he went eight seconds, not 8 minutes, not 18 minutes, 8 seconds over his allotted time. And they told him he couldn't come back anymore, but he appealed, and so he's back in. So just thanks be to God for his leadership, for his determination, for his stand for justice. Justice Ministries and serving God. Amen. Amen. What does this morning or this weekend mean to my family? It gives us a sense of closure, a sense of acknowledging that our family, our grandfather, the humanity that we have as well. A sense of my grandfather's hopes and dreams, not only for himself, but for his family and his three daughters and numerous grandchildren. I'm sure while he sat in the baptistry and listened to Reverend Smith's sermons, he wished he could be sitting in the pew right here or over here. But he thought, maybe one day, just maybe one day, my children and my grandchildren will be able to sit in the sanctuary, in the pulpit, to enjoy worship, and maybe even, and I'm stretching it here, but maybe even his granddaughter, my granddaughter, may stand in this pulpit and preach to this congregation. continued to plant shade trees under which he would never sit. Every moment of humility, every moment when he bit his tongue and let a slight go by, every time he thanked God for his relationship with the members of this congregation, he was able to worship at this church, but only in the baptistry because of segregation. But like Mordecai, he stayed the course. He understood for such a time as Jim Crow in America, he could and he did stay the course and continued to serve this church with dignity and honor and courage. I'm going to ask my family who's here, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-grandchildren, will you please stand? Amen. Amen. And the four living adult grandchildren, myself, Felita Barrett Smith, Marion Yvonne Barrett Mayfield, Johnny Ray Griffin, Henry Lee Lewis Jr., who's not here this morning, he's ill, he's very sick, and he just makes it as he can. So we thank God for him as well. But it's a legacy before you of four grandchildren, seven great-grandchildren, six great-great-grandchildren, and two great-great-great-grandchildren. Amen. Amen. We want to thank the artist, Cedric Huckabee, for the painting that was commissioned by this church as an act of reparation for discrimination against Mr. Thomas, my grandfather, other African Americans and people of color who were not welcomed at this church. This weekend, this day, has been 2.5 and maybe more years in the planning. It started with my cousin Sharon Goodacre, who is now deceased. But Byron made contact with her through her daughter Kenya on Facebook, and Sharon, like, yes, I am Sharon Graves, I am the granddaughter of John Thomas. And so it went forward from there. While reparations cannot right a wrong, it is a way of saying, I'm sorry for the wrong that was committed, and reflects a desire to move forward together. Our history is our history. Whatever it is, bad or good, it's ours. And if we don't know our history, we are doomed to repeat it. We would rather ban books, history books, than ban guns. The guns that are used by people who apparently are sick in the mind to kill our children and our youth in schools, killing our children and youth and adults in churches, in grocery stores, in nightclubs. Why do we need assault rifles and we're not at war? Why do we need assault rifles and we're not in a torn, war-torn country? We need to pass some laws to ban guns, especially that are used for killing each other and not just for hunting. The arc of the moral universe may be long, but it always, always bends toward justice. Martin Luther King said that. Now I have a word from the Lord this morning, but I do want to just say a few things about my grandfather. My grandfather and my parents and my auntie have told many stories about my grandfather. I was the little girl when he passed back in 1959. He became a custodian at Broadway Baptist Church on the 26th, which was the last Thursday, in 1924. And so this week marked the 100th anniversary of John Thomas being hired by Broadway Baptist Church as a custodian. He was born in South Texas. He was a veteran. He served his country in World War I. And my daughter said, well, he was old. Because when you think about World War I, that's a long time ago. He was a Pullman car porter when he first met his employer, Pastor Forrest Smith, on a train. And because of his courteous and efficient service and garnered him a job offer by Pastor Smith here at Broadway Baptist. He was married to my grandmother, Willie Watkins, for 39 years. And when they moved the family to Fort Worth, he remembered he had met Pastor Smith on the train, and he came to the church, and he was hired. They had three daughters, Johnny Mae, who passed away during childbirth, Dorothy Barrett, who owned a day school, owned and operated a day school for over 30 years for children 3 years old through first grade, and Dolores, the youngest daughter, was an LVN at Edna Gladney Home over on Hempfield, and she worked there for more than 20 years. He was a jovial man. He was fun-loving, and I can remember him coming home for lunch, and he'd tell my grandmother, her name was Willie, so he called her, Will, get them kids up so I can play with them before I go back to work. And so he was tall, and she would come in, though, and she would get us up. He was tall, about 6'4 or 5, and he'd sit down and cross those long legs and put us on his foot and make us a hoppy horse. And so we enjoyed that. He loved wrestling, and I know some of these things were said yesterday, but in case you weren't here, and just as a reminder, he loved to watch wrestling, and there was no way you could convince him that that was not real, that was actually going on. He loved baseball, and he taught my mom that old baseball song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and she sang it so much that now we know it too. Take me out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd. He was very much a family man, and he apparently had a really good relationship with my father, because my dad told me they would sit and talk politics for hours and hours and then let it go and be friends again. I would compare him to Mordecai, and you know Mordecai in the Bible, that was Esther's, actually her cousin, that was his uncle's daughter, but Mordecai raised her as his own daughter. My grandfather had an unchanging character. If he gave his word, you could depend on it. He would keep his word. He exhibited loyalty and wisdom and quiet determination in the face of tremendous pressure. He was a man of compassion. He loved the Lord, he loved the church, and he loved Broadway Baptist Church. And he thought that the doors of this church could not open unless he was here. He had to be here for whatever was going on, whatever service, he had to be here. He and my grandmother were members of Mount Olive Baptist Church, which used to sit right there on Hattie and Crawford Street. And I'm told by my parents that on Sundays after church, they would open their home for anybody who wanted a meal could come and eat. And so every Sunday after church, the yard and the house was full of people who wanted a meal, and he never charged them one dime. He worshiped at Broadway Baptist and felt like this was also his church home. My grandmother was an excellent cook, and that's why so many people were always there to eat her food, to eat her food. If you needed a place to stay, he would open his home to anybody. He was truly a man of compassion. He was a wise man, and the decisions that he made for his family were made with wisdom from above. He was an encourager to his daughters and his family, and apparently to members here at Broadway Baptist. He was a loyal and proud man of his African-American heritage. Now, I'm not naive enough to believe that there weren't some who mistreated him or disrespected him as a black man, but at the same time, there were those here who loved him, who supported him, encouraged him, and treated him with respect. Thanks be to God. He was a gentle giant, and despite segregation and racism of the day, this church, because of who he was, offered to have his funeral at Broadway Baptist, the first, from what I can read and study, was probably the first in Texas anyway, and maybe all across the country. But his funeral was held here, unheard of. My pastor from St. Andrew United Methodist Church participated in the service. His home church, Mount Olive, their pastor participated. Blacks and whites were here, but blacks sat on one side of the sanctuary, as Miss Maddie said yesterday, and the whites sat on the other side. And even though people had come to celebrate his life, we were still segregated. But because our faith cultivates our work, my grandpa made sure it was known by his family that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Read our text this morning when you get home, Joshua 24, 1 and 2, verses 14 through 24. And my sermon title this morning is Serve the Lord. Now, we have transitions in our lives. We graduate from high school. We go to college. We meet our boo, and we get married and fall in love. And we have children. We get our first job, our first home. All of these things are mileposts in our lives. Many of us here remember when JFK was assassinated. Many of us remember when we saw the white smoke coming out of the Twin Towers, and we thought it was a movie and not a terrorist attack. A milestone. Those are milestones in our lives, mileposts. We remember when Martin Luther King was assassinated. We remember when the first man stepped on the moon. And in chapter 24, Joshua delivers a State of the Union address in which he calls the children of Israel to a significant moment of renewed dedication in the life of their shared history. Joshua calls the people of God to the valley of Shechem. He calls judges and leaders and scribes and elders. He calls the entire congregation of Israel to the valley of Shechem. They're going to hear his farewell address, but they presented themselves not before man, but they presented themselves before God. We're here in person on this Sunday morning, not merely to hear the word proclaimed, but to present ourselves before God. That's why we come, to present ourselves before God. And if you came this morning just to hear a word proclaimed, that's part of it. But you miss what worship is all about. Worship is about a holy God. A holy God who allows a sinful man and woman to come into his presence. Since God let us come into God's presence, we ought to be able to say amen this morning. Amen. Amen. We are a corporate entity who comes before God. Therefore, when we come into worship, we ought to humble ourselves. We need to check our egos at the door, leave our education and degrees in the car and come and humble ourselves before the Almighty God. For we are the same this morning. We all need some grace. I'm not going to say a little bit. We all need some grace and we need some mercy. Amen. So just as Moses delivered his valedictory address on the plains of Moab, Joshua's farewell is in a place called Shechem. Joshua took back Israel, took them back to their roots physically as well as historically. In a powerful object lesson, Joshua reinforces their ties to generations past and to remind them of all that God had left for them. Shechem is a place where Abraham built an altar where God made his promise. Shechem is also a place where where Jacob went and built an altar after the long reconciliation and reunion with his brother Esau. Shechem was where Joseph's bones were taken and buried from Egypt. Shechem, that's where Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel are buried. Shechem is within the boundaries of the land that God had promised. The great nation of Israel, God had promised Abraham, now gathers to meet him at the very place that the first promise was made. It took a long time for them to get to that place, but God always, always keeps his promise. You can count on God in the promises that he makes, for he is a man who cannot lie. He will always keep his promise. They went to Egypt as privileged and honored guests, but ended up as Egyptian slaves. It took them 40 years to get out of Egypt into the promised land, and now it's almost over 500 years since God made the promise. It may take a while, but God will keep God's word. And I think the reason it takes a while is because God wants to build some faith in us. God wants to build some endurance in us. Has anybody here? Is there anybody here this morning who ever prayed for something that they wanted and God delivered? And it's one thing about God, when you're praying and you think he's not going to come, God does come. He's always on time. He may not come with you when you want him, but God is always on time. You were waiting for this door to open, and before you knew it, the door opened. Thanks be to God. To get you to know that we may not come here only to present ourselves before God, to know that God loves us, to know that God is waiting for you to ask him for whatever it is that you want, for he will give you everything your heart needs and desires. God will make your enemies your footstool. All you need to do is tell him to get out of the way and leave it to God, because God will fight your battles. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Just as the Lord issued a call through Joshua for the people to make up their minds whom they will serve, God issues that same call to us this morning, to the people here at Broadway Baptist Church, members and guests and friends. Who are you going to serve? The service of God must be born out of something more than a Sunday morning itch or a Sunday morning impulse. Serving God has got to be more than what you've been accustomed to, because you do know that Broadway Baptist is the place where the church gathers, but it's not the church. It's the building where the church assembles. But the church is when you get on that job or in your office tomorrow, or you're at the shopping mall, or you're at the grocery store, and live out what you heard preached. Beloved brothers and sisters, it is not born out of impulse. It must be the result of a deliberate choice, a determined choice, a purposeful choice. None of us who serve the Lord cheerfully, if your heart is not in it willfully. In other words, if you're going to put your heart in it, then go ahead and do it. Love the Lord and serve God. If you're here because somebody else is here, you're here for the wrong reason. And I might add that the act of choice is divine in its object, in its character. Choice is decisive. In its nature, choice is practical in its operation. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You know what that means? It means you cannot serve God by proxy. You cannot serve God through your mother's God or your father's God or your grandfather's God or your grandmother's God. You got to know God for yourself. You have to make a choice who you will serve. There are three choices that you have to make. You can either be complicit or complacent or courageous. Now, if you are complicit, you know right from wrong, but you go along just to get along, and you don't necessarily want to lose your friends, so you just kind of turn away from what happened, or you let that slide. You turn a blind eye to what you know is wrong. But you know right from wrong, as I said. Now you leave being complicit to becoming complacent. Complacent means that's good enough. Complacent means God has blessed me, but I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to grow in my faith. I'm not going to grow in reading the Bible and learning more about the Bible. So you never move. You stay right where you are. You never move forward in your devotions and the things of God. In your mind, that's good enough. But whatever we do is not good enough. That's why we should keep on striving. You ought to keep on pushing. Keep on praying. And Paul says that I press. I press. That word press means that I strained. I put every ounce of energy that I have. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And finally, you must live a courageous life. Not that I've already attained, but I forget what's behind, and I reach those things that are before me. Courage means being scared to death, but moving forward anyway, with God's help. Courage is always fueled by our faith in God. We must take hold of real promises given by God so that having done all, we can, having done all, we can stand firm in the evil day. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Other gods, which your fathers may have served on the other side of the river, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Amen.